text this evening comes from the Gospel of John, the end of chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we'll be reading verses, chapter 2, starting at verse 23, and we'll read all the way to chapter 3, verse 17. Starting in John chapter 2, at verse 23, people of God, this is God's very word. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself to them, because He knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And there ends the reading of God's Word this evening. So for those who are visiting this evening, we've just finished going through 1 Peter, and it took a while. We've done 1 Peter in the mornings here, and I thought, let's take a break from a book. I'm going on vacation in a couple weeks, and I thought, well, I'll pick up a book in September, but what are we going to do the next couple weeks? And I thought, well, let's look at people that Jesus have encountered along the way to get the shepherd's view of lost sheep. Jesus told us that He came to seek and save the lost. He also said He did not come to call the righteous, but the sick. So as we go through these encounters, I've picked four, then Jesus meets with these people. I hope we get a sense of Jesus speaking to us. Jesus seeking us. Jesus saving us. Because at one time, we too were lost sheep. The first of these three people we're going to look at is Nicodemus, a lost sheep of Israel. And the first three that we look at will come from chapters 2 in John all the way to chapter 4. We'll start with Nicodemus, and then Lord willing, next week, we'll see the woman at the well. And then after I get back from vacation, we're going to look at the nobleman whose son was sick. And the week before September starts, I'm hoping to look at Zacchaeus. All three, or all four of these, are different. They're different sheep with different needs. But Jesus goes and seeks them all. He finds these lost sheep, and each one needs to hear something different, just like every one of us. Nicodemus was a pious Jew, the teacher of Israel, who needed the shepherd to tell him, there's only one way to enter the sheep pen, and you're not going in that way. The next one is a woman who needed the shepherd to point out that she was lost. She needed to return. Then in a few weeks, we'll see the man, the nobleman, who always told everybody else what to do. But Jesus comes to him and tells him what to do. See, we're all coming at this from different ways. But the shepherd knows exactly what we need to hear when we need to hear it. So I thought we'd start with Nicodemus. It's a story that we all know well. We've read probably hundreds of times. Even our little kids know the story of Nicodemus. Who is Nicodemus? What was his agenda for coming to Jesus tonight? Why does Jesus respond the way he does? See, and the really big question that Nicodemus couldn't answer is, what does it mean to be born again? Or the real question, the real phrase in the text is, what does it mean to be born from above? It's repeated in our text three times. And if anybody should have known what that means, it should have been Nicodemus. See, in our text, Jesus is telling us that if you want to enter the kingdom, if you even want to see the kingdom, you need to be born from above. It's not by works. It's not by following someone who's performing signs or miracles. John begins this episode in chapter 2. It's these three verses at the end of chapter 2 that really set up the story of Nicodemus. This is one of those annoyances of chapter divisions that we have in Scripture. The Gospel of John is set up so beautifully that the narrative just flows one story to the next. And if you stop reading at the end of the chapter, you're going to miss something. John starts by this, John chapter 2, verse 23. You'll see what I mean. Now when he was in Jerusalem, that being Jesus, at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. You see how he connected those, the story? It's one flowing story. He wants us to know who Nicodemus is by who saw the signs and who put their faith in Jesus by the signs. Right? It really opens up our story to help us know Nicodemus. And why Jesus says the things he says to him. See, if we don't bring those last verses in of chapter 2 and we hear what Jesus says to him, we're going to be like, why does Jesus just right away ask Nicodemus or tell Nicodemus, you must be born again? See, we would be missing something if we just started chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. See, that's exactly what we read right before in chapter 2. See, when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, the crowds loved the signs. They loved the miracles. And they were putting their faith in Jesus for the wrong reasons. See, signs and miracles were opening up the crowd's curiosity. Ooh, what can Jesus do for us next? Did you hear what Jesus did in Canaan? He turned the water into wine. Right? They wanted to see this miracle worker. See, his crowds were full of lost sheep. And those who were supposed to tell him the way to the kingdom didn't have the answer. John gives us a glimpse of these crowds and their belief in Jesus. So when we get to chapter 3 and through the rest of the whole gospel, Jesus, the good shepherd, goes looking for these lost sheep to show them and tell them how you really get into the kingdom. It's not by someone performing signs or miracles, but it's by faith. Think about people today, beloved. Think about how curious people are today when they're looking for religion or they're looking for that religious experience. They'll jump at anything. Ooh, look at that. Look what that guy can do. Look how great that preacher is. Right? They look for those things instead of looking to Jesus. See, John masterfully shows us this link by this introduction of Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. See, John wants us to know where Nicodemus is at. This man. Well, who was the man he were talking about before? Oh, the men that were looking at the signs and miracles. That's who Nicodemus is connected with. Now we get the big question. Why did he come to Jesus at night? There's a lot of different answers for this, but I believe the reason he came to Jesus at night is because John's trying to show us this light and darkness contrast. Right? There's this light and darkness contrast throughout the book of John. And when we went through 1 John, we saw it even in 1 John, didn't we? This idea of light and darkness. And we have Nicodemus coming out of the dark into the light to see Jesus, the light giver. Listen to how John starts his gospel. Right in the very beginning of the gospel of John, in verse 4, that's how early in the gospel of John writes this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we have Nicodemus coming at night, coming out of the darkness into the light to talk to the light of the world. And in verse 2 of chapter 3, Nicodemus respectfully talks to this light. Rabbi, meaning teacher. And you should be thinking to yourself, well, wait a second. Nicodemus is the teacher in Israel. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And so what did Nicodemus just do? He put himself in the other group. He says, for no one can do these signs that you do. See, Nicodemus is digging himself a hole here. So Jesus is going to let him have it, isn't he? See, we might expect Nicodemus to build himself up a little bit, because this is just a statement. But Jesus comes right at him. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're almost like taken back by the force of what Jesus says to him. You can almost see Nicodemus' face like, wait, what? Where did that come from, Jesus? Like, I haven't even asked the question. But like I said earlier, Jesus' words make perfect sense. Because Nicodemus is one of the men that saw the signs and the miracles. Now Nicodemus, as this Jewish representative of the people, is told that faith is not in signs. You can't put your faith in signs. You can't put your faith in miracles. You need to put your faith in Jesus. You need to be born again. See, those that believed in His name from chapter 2 and put their belief in the signs, they have defective faith. They're still lost sheep. Jesus is explaining that with a defective faith, you can't see the kingdom. See, Jesus cares for lost sheep. And when we get stuck in our ways, we need Jesus to snap us out of it. And that's what He does to Nicodemus. It's a snap. Nicodemus, listen up. You're a lost sheep. But He starts with His sentence to Nicodemus, most assuredly. And in the Greek, that's amen, amen. It's two words. He wants to get his attention. Amen, amen. That's usually what we say at the end of something important. We say it at the end of our prayers. Jesus starts His conversation with Nicodemus. Amen, amen. See, it's so important. He says it twice. He wants Nicodemus' full attention. He wants to snap Nicodemus out of his false belief system. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That sentence is out of nowhere. Nicodemus is thinking, why is Jesus saying this? Then the problem arises for Nicodemus because he's trying to process what Jesus is saying to him. And that word again that Jesus says, you need to be born again, has two meanings, and Nicodemus doesn't know which to choose. See, it does mean, again, be born again, but it also could mean from above, to be born from above. And in his mind, he doesn't understand which one to choose. He doesn't know what the true meaning is, because they both work. We need to be born again. Of course we do. When you become a Christian, you literally become a new creature, don't you? You're covered with Christ's righteousness, and you become new. You become born again. The old has died, and the new is made like the image of Christ. But with sheep like Nicodemus, who in his religious structure, where you need to do all the work, you need to earn salvation. You need to earn merit. Jesus wants them to know that's not how you get to the kingdom of God. No, you need to be born from above. You must be born from above. See, saying that we're born from above takes all the work away from us. It has nothing to do with us when you're born from above. Your birth originates with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and Jesus expected Nicodemus to know that, to understand what he meant. Because Nicodemus was the teacher in Israel. He had studied the Scriptures his whole life. He knew it from the front page all the way to the back page, from Genesis 1 all the way into his Bible, it would be 2 Chronicles. The last chapter of 2 Chronicles. He knew it all by heart. He knew it all. He knows when he reads through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, it tells him you need a new heart. You need to be born again. There's something wrong with you. It's always there in the text. But Nicodemus here is born again. And doesn't put two and two together, and he's confused, obviously, when he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And you're like, swing and a miss, Nicodemus. You totally missed the point. See, Jesus needs to really break down this belief that Nicodemus had. See, Jesus told them first, you need to be born again just to see the kingdom of God. But now he tells them, you can't even enter the kingdom unless you're born of water and the Spirit. And listen, in verse 5, Jesus says, most assuredly. He starts the sentence off with that. Amen, amen. Nicodemus, listen to me. It's that important. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. See, he's putting the nail in the coffin of Nicodemus. And anybody who also thinks they can get to heaven by works, they can get into the kingdom of God by works, or just being an ethnic child of Abraham, that's not how you do it, Jesus is teaching him. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, and all those that Nicodemus represents, the only way to the kingdom of God is to be born again, born from above. And I want us to stop and think about this, beloved. These are covenant people here. Everybody here, at least all the males, have that covenant sign. They have that mark. They're in the covenant. They've heard scriptures their whole life, and yet they don't know the way. Like when we had our baptism this morning, we promised to teach this child the way. See, Israel had lost the way over time. They forgot that it was God with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm that led them out of Egypt. That it was God who gave them the truth. And over time it became about them and their works and how they could keep the law. And Jesus says, no. No, you need to be born from above. You need to be born again. See, that should really open our eyes. Without us telling our children the truth, they're going to hear from everybody else. They're going to think they can get to heaven every other way, but the real way, Jesus. Right? We know how to enter the sheepfold, the good shepherd. See, the Apostle Paul tells us the same thing in 1 Corinthians. He says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Those in this kingdom need to be born again. They need to take off the perishable, the body that's dying, and put on the imperishable, that new man. This kingdom is for those who will one day put on immortality. Beloved, this kingdom is for those who are born by the Spirit, that have heard Jesus call their name. Because that's what sheep do. Sheep hear the shepherd. The shepherd knows them by name. He calls them by name and they come out. Beloved, that's how you get into the kingdom of God. The good shepherd knows you by name, calls you by name. He says, you're mine, follow me. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. And what's funny is Jesus pretty much tells us Nicodemus' face right here. He says, do not marvel at what I say to you. You must be born again. Like the force of what he's saying is, how do you not know this, Nicodemus? You know the scriptures. He's an Old Testament scholar. He's the teacher in Israel. And Jesus has to say, no, this is how you get to heaven. I want to go back to the baptism that we saw this morning. We promise our children that we'll teach them the way. Right? It's in the Word of God. Beloved, read Scripture to your kids. Tell them what Jesus has done. Show them. Take them back to Ezekiel right here. Ezekiel chapter 36. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart, a new heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Did you hear how many times it said, I will? You know who was speaking there? It wasn't us. It was God. I will take you. I will sprinkle you. I will cleanse you. I will give you. I will remove. Whew. That's the Lord. That's the good shepherd. Now going back to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, it seemed like it worked. It seemed like he heard the good shepherd. Because later on in John, when the Sanhedrin's looking to arrest Jesus, Nicodemus stands up for Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin and says this in John 7. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? See, Nicodemus is sticking up for Jesus here. And at the end of the Gospel of John, after the crucifixion, this is what John writes. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being the disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him the permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Now listen to this. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips and linen with the spices as the custom of the Jews to bury. Because we always think of Joseph did all this by himself, but Nicodemus came with him. Nicodemus, the one who didn't know how to enter the kingdom of God, didn't understand that he needed to be born from above, in the end, helps Joseph of Arimathea take the body of Christ and put it in the tomb. Nicodemus found out what the good shepherd was saying, didn't he? Nicodemus, who was a lost sheep, looking for a shepherd. In the end, the shepherd found him, told him, it's not by works, Nicodemus. It's not by what you do. It's not by the signs that you see or the miracles that I performed. You need to be born from above, Nicodemus. Now, beloved, with us, how often do we think about that? That Jesus comes to us and says, it's not by what you do. It's not by who you are, what family you come from. You must be born again. The good shepherd wants to snap you out of everything that you're thinking. He says, come to me. Because, beloved, believing in signs and in miracles is not going to get you into the kingdom. Jesus gets us into the kingdom. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus knows your name. Let's pray. Father God, in this world of busyness and how fast we're going and how much we think we need to do, help us to remember that ultimately we're a lost sheep in need of a shepherd until the shepherd calls our names. And Lord, help us to remember that our children need to hear this truth. We promised them in their baptism that we would help them to know Jesus, that we would lead them to know the Good Shepherd. Help us to help them know that Jesus loves them. And His promises are yes and amen. That Jesus went to the cross for them. And that they have the mark of Christ on them. That the Shepherd loves them. Oh Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the work that He's done on our behalf. He is our good shepherd. And we pray this prayer in His name, the name of Jesus. Amen.